Hello and welcome again, college baseball fans, to another night of your favorite podcast dedicated to college baseball and college baseball only. I'm your host, Ben Upton. James Berry is alongside with me, and we have a lot of cool Friday night news that we want to talk about. But before we get to that,
Ben, do you smell that?
No, I don't. It's my cat. She just pooped right next to me.
No. It smells like we're in the middle of baseball season. We've got ACC, SEC starting, crazy games all over the place. It was awesome today.
The real March Madness.
It smells like baseball season.
No, there's nothing better than just the prime of March. Leading into April, we have college baseball for three nights in a row. Nothing better, and especially Friday night. It makes watching games on ESPN Plus so much better to watch. You know, incredible talents throwing the ball, matching up against some of the best hitters. I watched four games today. I'm still not full on my college baseball. I want more. Feed me dessert. Maybe it can lead with a Dallas Baptist win over Houston.
Nope.
They need a little comeback right now. Not looking good for the weekend series.
U of H is showing out, and I love it.
Yeah, no, we'll talk more about that later. But tonight's episode, no sponsor. That's okay.
Really
gives
true.
Us time. Yeah, this will be. We have some lined up, fellas. We need to agree on some terms. That's all it is. But that gives us some time to talk about our brand new website, which we mentioned yesterday. It's coming along really well. We're throwing merchandise up there every day, including a brand new Ron Polk T-shirt. It's really cool. It's his face with a cigar on it. If you know Ron Polk, the guy is a living, breathing chimney. He loves his cigars. You guys go check it out. And I guess speaking of the Ron Polk T-shirt we put up, let's talk about the podcast a little bit. The little bonus episode we let out last night.
Dude, I even listened to it, and I was so excited. I was like, I can't believe that we got to do that.
I had so many friends text me and say, like, how did you guys pull that off? Like, what did you guys do?
Because ask and you shall receive.
I mean, pretty much. Like, and we were pretty much dedicated to making it happen no matter what, because we had a lot of people doubt us, especially one guy who called us out on Twitter and told us to delete our account.
He seems like a fun guy.
You know what? He's a mushroom because he's a straight fun guy, huh? honestly, without him, probably wouldn't have pursued it anymore, but when he doubted us, I was like, all right, you know what? This is going to happen. I don't care what it takes. And it was fairly easy. Shout out to Tyler Mims and Matt Morse. Like, those two guys who managed Ron Polk set it up nicely for us. Ron Polk was an incredible guest. And I love the fact that he's not scared to hold back on his opinions.
I was so surprised.
Well, no, I was surprised because the listeners didn't get to experience this. But before the episode, we talked for a good 30 minutes. And it was just him just absolutely destroying the NCAA in all shapes and forms. The guy does not like the organization, as do myself. I don't like it. But we literally had to tell him to slow down. We're like, wait, save it for the show, because like, our fans are going to love this.
Yeah, it was so cool. My favorite thing about it, he was like, well, I'm a volunteer now, so I don't have to deal with any of their crap. It was so funny. Like,
yeah,
guys.
No.
Guy's 75 years old, like, so fired up just because he loves the game. Like, he sees what the NCAA has done to the players and the coaches. And he's still fighting that mission, man. It's awesome.
Yeah, we were like, Coach Polk, what's the best thing about coaching in the Cape? He said, well, I get to be around the best players, and I don't have to deal with the NCAA. So, boom.
He didn't want to drop it. I can't say I blame him, honestly.
We were like, all right, fair enough. Fair enough, old man. No, that was incredible for us. I mean, that would be like getting Nick Saban or like Lou Holtz on the show, the college football podcast.
He didn't like want to be big league us at all. He wasn't like, yeah, my PR guy set this up. Let's get this over with. Like, we had to tell him, like, hey, we got to start the interview. Like, we don't want to take too much of your time. He was really nice.
Yeah, no, I would love to have him back and hopefully get a chance to meet him in late May at Hattiesburg, Mississippi. But Coach Polk was an awesome guy. Look forward to having him back on the show.
You gotta listen to the episode, guys.
James, do we make a trip out to the Cape Cod League this summer?
Dude, we've got a lot of stuff planned, and that's definitely on the list. We gotta go see our bud.
Go straight from Omaha to Massachusetts. I don't think we could think of a better college baseball road trip.
Oh, dude, you go straight. Yeah, we might just have to follow the players there that are go straight from Omaha to their. That's another segment we can have one day, is talk about the grind of college summer baseball for these guys. It's honestly quite ridiculous how much baseball they have to play.
Like, they don't even get to pack their baseball stuff up. Like, once the season's over, they're going straight on a plane somewhere or in their car, and they're playing the same day. Like, but dude, it's what everybody wants. Like, nobody wants time off. Like, they just want to get right back into it.
Absolutely. But so it was a packed Friday night. I'm furious about Texas Tech. I'm sorry, I gotta get right into it. They're in a Friday night. They're in a tough game. This is the Big 12 is starting. Two of the top teams in the Big 12, Texas Tech and Texas. And Tech has a chance to come away with a low-scoring game on a Friday night. They have a snowball fight in the sixth inning. Errors on back-to-back plays. And you can't give a top 25 team in the country those type of plays at home and expect to come out with a win. And, of course, they lose the game. I mean, it's going to change the tone for the whole series, the whole weekend, don't you think?
James, are you familiar with Space Jam?
Yeah, dude, I've seen Space Jam 100 times.
All right, I was watching the sixth inning of that game, and the Monstars flew in on their spaceship and took the talents of Texas Tech while they're on defense, because I'm not kidding, Texas Tech was rolling, like, in Austin, rolling. Like the Texas fans were out of it. Texas players, they didn't really care what was going on. And then a sack fly happened, which resulted in a throwing error. Base runners advance. Next play, ground ball, third base, throwing error. Back-to-back throwing errors to put three runs up on the board, and that's all Texas needed. It was a joke. Like,
dude,
the poor Red Raiders just have to face, like, and this is the beginning of conference play too. Let's not forget that. They have to win the next two to win this series on the road. Like, dude, when they had Friday night locked up.
Dude, I hope there would not be a more frustrating team in the country to watch turn into a Jekyll and Hyde team than Texas Tech. Because you're just like, what are you doing? Like, they have the ability to be one of those offenses that averages 8 to 9 runs a game in a power conference. They're unbelievable. And just, how are you losing games like that? Like, they're a scrappy team. Like, they're not just like some, they're not like a New Mexico or New Mexico State that just absolutely rakes, but like, oh, they've played a soft schedule and they can't do anything else. Like, no. Like, complete team, national title contender.
Their offense is by far, in my opinion at least, by far the best in the Big 12.
For sure.
I mean, I'm trying to think of some others that might compete with them. Maybe Oklahoma. Oklahoma's looked good so far. TCU, you never know what's going on. Yeah, Baylor's been absolute ass this year offensively. Yeah. Like,
they have the top-end talent.
Yeah, no, they do. And, like, they could turn it around. And, like, they just got their National Player of the Year contender back in the lineup with Shea. But I don't know. I mean, like, if you look at the lineup, like, Texas Tech has it. Like, they have the runs per game.
Yeah.
They just, golly, man, the defense today was pathetic.
Absolutely brutal. And, dude, it's just going to change the complexion of the whole weekend for them. Like, because they're.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, so, like, in your experience, you have a game, like, I wouldn't say they have it wrapped up, but, like, they're expecting to win. Like, when you're a good team, you expect to win when you're already winning. Like, you're not surprised. You're not, like, thinking, oh, I wonder if we're going to come away. It's just, like, everyone kind of smells blood in the water. And then to lose in a manner like that, to give up the lead in a manner like that, and, yeah, the game's not over, but then, you know, Texas brings in their top arms and you just get shoved down your throat. I mean, how does a loss like that really, to me, it definitely changes the entire mood of the weekend. Like, everything's different had you have won Friday night, you know, starting with how the talk goes after the game compared to how you lose. Can you run me through some of that?
No, James, I think we have this backwards, because I'm talking to a kid who played on a team his junior year who only lost one Friday night game the whole season. Is that right?
Well, okay, so yeah, we lost. So my junior year at Longwood was a record-setting season for the program, the most wins in the D1 era, highest finish, blah blah blah. And we had a stud pitcher who was a senior, and he pitched Friday nights. Obviously,
what was his name again?
Travis Burnett. Dude, yeah. I actually have a really funny story about him as well. We'll have to get into another time. But so we opened up at East Carolina, and they were ranked to start that season. And we did not win that game. So we lost that game. And then our last series of the year was a non-conference series when we were already locked into our tournament seating. So he pitched two innings to start Friday night, and we ended up losing that game. But it was like a scrimmage. So I would say, because he pitched two innings, like it was a bullpen game. So
like,
I would
you say, like, if he would have pitched six or seven, you guys would have won?
I mean, yeah. The guy. So we lost one game he actually pitched in, like, for real, for real.
You guys beat Coastal on Friday night, like the national champions of that year.
Yeah, dude. The guy was unbelievable. So, that like, that season, it was just, like, expected we win Friday nights. Like, we never knew what it was like to go into a Saturday in conference, like, down and fighting. Like, so tech, but trust me, my senior year, we had plenty of that. So plenty of that my senior season. But it just really set the tone, because I'll talk about the good side of it. Is you win your game Friday night, and everybody just, I wouldn't say relaxes, but you're really settled in, you're comfortable. Like, afterwards the coaches are relaxed, they're making jokes with the players, and they're talking about all the good things that happened Friday night. And on your, like, 5 or 10 minute bus ride back to the hotel, like, everyone is loud and having a good time, and, like, you
show up to breakfast the next morning at the hotel, and, like, everybody's just bouncing around.
Yeah, there's so,
like,
much,
not afraid to say anything. Like,
oh, there's so much good energy. And also, coming from a mid-major school, I think you can relate. When you win Friday night, you know what that means. It means you're guaranteed that the coaches will do your laundry for you because you won.
We had a manager. We didn't have to worry about that.
Oh, no, we did not. We didn't have a manager. Well, we had managers. They just, like, never showed up. It was really funny. But sometimes if we lost Friday nights, no loops. We'd get a text. No loops. And for the fans at home, we'd have
no way. Like, you guys got a text that said, no loops will be done tonight.
Oh, yeah.
So do it yourself.
Oh, it was, yeah. The text would say jerseys and pants only when we lost. And we got that text a lot my senior year.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. So for the fans at home, like, the programs, you have to wash your crap when you're on the road at the hotel. And it's a lot of laundry between 25 dudes. And if we lost Friday night, the coaches wouldn't want to wash all your laundry. It was, so they give you a text and say, don't send us your crap. Don't put your laundry on the laundry loop. Don't bring it to my room. So that's just what some of the differences. And it just makes everyone real negative. So I know that's not happening to Texas Tech, but they're definitely having a quiet little bus ride back to their hotel. Probably not going to be too talkative at dinner. Coaches kind of lighten up when they take you out to eat, but the mood's still there, honestly.
Wow. And then, so compare that situation to, like, what you kind of encountered your junior or your senior year when you guys lost a majority of your Friday night games. Like, I know you kind of touched on it a little bit, but, like, what does Texas Tech have to do to bounce back for Saturday? Because I feel like you guys did win quite a few Saturday games your senior year. Like, is there something different you do pregame, or is it, like, kind of battle mode throughout the whole game? Like, God, we got to jump out early because, like, if we go down, like, we lose a series today. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. The most annoying part is when you lose a Friday game, the most annoying thing is the next day on a Saturday, everything is tense from the coaching staff because of the exact reason that you said. You know, if we lose today, we lose the series. And so everything's tense, meaning, like, going out and stretching, you know, the coaches are more fired up than usual. In batting practice, like, it's not lax and chill. Like, if you don't get your bunt down, like, if you win Friday and the next day on Saturday and you miss a bunt in your execution round of BP, you know, maybe they don't say anything, but everything matters more after you've already lost because the coaches are all paranoid and they're stressed out. So batting practice is tense. Everything matters more to the coaches, and it's just harder for the guys to get comfortable because, like, you don't, if you're going to play a 3-hour game and you're down 0-1 in the series, you're going to be tense. Like, you're going to fight with some urgency. But what you shouldn't do if you're a coach, in my opinion, is get your players in that intense mode, like stressed out, 3 hours before the game starts. Because now you're asking them to play with their hair on fire for 6 hours after they just did it 12 hours beforehand.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a good look. I mean, obviously I'm not claiming to know what goes on at every dugout across the country. That would be stupid. But we there are some things that are constant, and
the one constant that we do know is that Josh Jung at third base for Texas Tech is not taking it lightly at third base during BP tomorrow. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if he doesn't make another error for like 3 weeks, because he knows he cost his team a win tonight. And with that 2-run throwing error, I guarantee you during BP tomorrow and in and out, that guy's going to be locked in, ready to go. I don't expect him to make another error for a long, long time, because he's a Team USA player. Like, he's the best third baseman in the nation, arguably.
Yeah. Those things just – that's why it was so surprising. Or, like, out of this team, I mean, I feel like playing on the road, that type of stuff is just more likely to happen. I have no proof to back it up, but I just have a – like, that stuff just doesn't happen when you're at home.
No, you're right. I mean, it does, but, like, it kind of goes unnoticed. But – I'll tell you something that has not gone unnoticed. Actually,
what's that?
I'm lying. It has gone unnoticed until about 3 or 4 days ago. Hank LaForte. Are you familiar with that name?
I would be lying if I was familiar with it before the last 36 hours.
Yeah, no, seriously. But it has been brought to our attention that Hank LaForte of Cal State Fullerton, home of the Titans, which we have a big following for, actually. Like, we have a lot of Titan fans that listen to the podcast. But Hank LaForte tonight has reached base for his 60th consecutive game. Wow. I don't know if I reached base in 60 total college games. I really don't think. I mean, maybe. I mean, that would only be 15 a season. But, geez, like, that's an accomplishment right there to do it. 60 consecutive games, especially in, like, a, you know, pretty good conference that he's in. And they play a great non-conference schedule. It'd be interesting to see if we knew what game it was that he did not reach base in. Like, what game was it that was the last before he started the streak?
Yeah,
we'll have to look.
That's some research for the fans, maybe.
I would say sometime early last season.
Yeah, dude, that'd be good research for the fans to look into. I've got a question for you. So,
yeah,
living with, and you're one of your best pals being Kyle Lewis, the Golden Spikes Award winner from your junior season. He had to have gotten on base in like almost every game that year, right?
No. I think he set the record for most walks in a season. I'm going to pull up the stats right now. I think it was like he had 72 walks or something. No, more than that. I'm going to look it up. But no, it was his on base percentage was outrageous, like close to 600.
About a gold star,
dude. Well, before we get to the gold star, I'm gonna tell you about like my experience watching him play baseball. Every time he stepped into the box, he was the most out of place person I've ever seen, because he was playing in the SoCon, the Southern Conference, which is known for its hitter friendly ballparks and its very poor pitching staffs. Kyle Lewis was a man amongst boys there, and I don't know his exact stats, but I remember he was hitting like well over like 450 throughout the whole season, and they would refuse to pitch to him. And so every time he stepped in the box, it was like something amazing was about to happen. Let's see, he had 66 walks in 61 games. Jeez. He had 88 hits, which was 11 doubles, 2 triples, 20 homers, 72 RBIs.
That's wild, bro.
And the best stat about Kyle Lewis that I can say, he did not make an error all 4 years of college. Never made an error in college. What? Throwing error or fielding error. Center field.
That's unbelievable.
No, yeah, it was him defensively. He robbed 3 home runs, like brought them back in center field that year. Like reached over the wall, pulled him back. It was, dude, I don't know if the SoCon will ever see a player like that ever again. Like, ever again.
Dude, he was wild. I remember seeing, I remember the highlights. I was like, that's Ben's roommate. It was so crazy.
It was, dude.
But
it was
shout out to Hank.
Shout out to who?
Yeah, shout out to Hank LaForte, though, for just absolutely
just being a scrappy ball player.
That's unbelievable, dude. Like, you know, he's like, absolutely. You know, he's so fired up about getting a 60. Like, that's got to feel good, man. Oh, geez. He's got to feel like invincible right now going through what he's doing.
Yeah, no doubt. And so, I guess transitioning from Kyle Lewis to our next segment, I knew every time that we played a team, they would gold star Kyle Lewis, meaning that, like, they were not afraid to not pitch to him, if that makes sense. Like, hey, you know what? Like, even if the bases are loaded, like, throw him three or four sliders in the dirt. Maybe throw him a fastball high. Don't give in to him because, like, we would rather give up one run than, like, two, three, or four runs. But there's a couple other guys right now that are just absolutely tattooing the baseball. It seems like every time they've come up to the plate, Joe Davis of the University of Houston and Kyle McCann of Georgia Tech. And I know Kyle McCann hit his 11th home run tonight.
What?
His 11th home run of the night.
Are you kidding me?
Not of the night, of the year, tonight.
No, yeah, I know what you meant. I don't know what you meant, but that's incredible.
Yeah, and he's just a left-handed hitting catcher for Georgia Tech. Not related to Brian McCann, also native of Atlanta. It's crazy. Both in Atlanta, both left-handed hitting, right-handed throwing catchers with some power. He hit his 11th home run tonight, and he also hit a go-ahead double in the bottom of the 7th or bottom of the 8th to put them ahead of Virginia, which Virginia ended up coming back and winning the game in the top of the 9th.
Shout out to UVA deciding not to have a dumper of a season.
Oh, I know, but they got to learn that you got a gold star Kyle McCann. They keep pitching to him. Like, they pitched to him twice in, like, crucial situations and just left fastballs over the middle of the plate. He hit a ball about 450 to dead center for his home run, and then a ball about 395 to left center, Oppo, for his three-run double. So, dude, guys, if you're a coach in the league, gold star Kyle McCann. Don't pitch to the kid because he doesn't have any protection behind him. Georgia Tech's lineup's not deep.
Dude, think about this. Like, he's got 11 pumps. He's got to have a home run percentage of his at-bats, like, around 10% right now. Like, that's crazy. Whatever. Yeah. Why are you pitching to him? I don't, like, why?
I don't know. I really don't know. It's not like he has All-American protection around him. Like, the only protection he would have this year that's an All-American is actually playing for Mercer this year. He grad transferred. His name's Kel Johnson. Kel Johnson just hit his 7th homer of the year for Mercer. He was an All-American his sophomore year. Georgia Tech let him go, and now he's playing at Mercer. But yeah, besides that, like, Kyle McCann doesn't have any protection in the lineup. Zero. Like, they can try to make somebody up and say, oh no, he's actually a good hitter, but, like, my eyes, no. Like,
dude, so you're telling me that he entered tonight with 10 pumps on the season already?
Yeah, and they still pitched to him.
Okay, so this is week number 5, correct?
Right.
I'm not a genius at math, but that's 2 homers a weekend.
A week. I mean, they could hit some midweeks.
Right. Okay, so two homers a week. Like, bro, leave the dude alone. Like, that's unreal. He's got to be on pace. He's definitely on pace for 30 homers.
Oh, yeah. I would say, I mean, they probably played their 15th or 16th game of the year.
Yeah.
Multiply by, like, 33 homers for sure.
Well, it's week 5. There's about 15 weeks.
Yeah.
He's 33.
Well, he's not even leading the nation, though. Like, I knew there's somebody that, for, like, New Mexico State, I believe, that has 12.
Yeah, but we read their schedule. They've got 6 games against Delaware and Texas Southern.
Yeah, that's pathetic. But another guy that's red hot at the plate, Joe Davis. 2-for-4 tonight with 3 RBIs. The Dallas Baptist pitching staff knows he's the only one that can hurt him. Like, the only person in the lineup that can really hurt him. We saw him play in the College Classic. Every at-bat was either a deep fly out to the warning track or, like, a hard hit ball up the middle.
Dude just knows how to find barrels, man. Like,
I think he has two walk-off home runs this year, if I'm not mistaken. At least one and maybe two. But, yeah, Dallas Baptist is down to their last out. They're down 8-6 right now. And shame on them, because if they just didn't pitch to Joe Davis, they'd be winning 6-5. Yeah. At least.
At least.
And so, yeah, Joe Davis is, like, so, I don't want to say funny-looking in a baseball uniform, but, like, he's the closest thing we've seen to, like, Billy Butler.
Absolutely.
The old Royals DH. Like, just a country-fed, just, like, his neck is, like, the size of my thigh. Like, just forearms for days. The guy is just, he's a big human being. But he's not tall. He's, like, 6'1", maybe. Dude,
he reminds me of this player from the Big South. His name was Colin Thacker.
Oh, don't even get me started on Colin Thacker. He led the nation in doubles.
Yeah. Wait, why are you pissed? Why do you sound pissed about
that? He was a little fat kid that just hit doubles.
Dude, he didn't just hit doubles. He hit 394 when we were juniors. He hit 28 doubles.
Wait, am I wrong? He's like 5'9", like 240, right? Played second base.
He's shorter than that. He's got to be like 5'7".
But yeah. He's like fat.
He was fat, but he specifically cost us a series my senior year. We played them, and I said, we better not pitch this guy. And we tried to be cute and pitch to him. Like, dude, you're not going to – like, this is an All-American hitter. What are we doing? But that he kind of reminds me of Joe Davis. Like, they just kind of have this body where it's like, yeah, you're not going to be, like – anywhere near like top 20 rounds in pro ball. Maybe Joe Davis will. Colin Thacker wouldn't be, but they can just hit, dude. Like, guys like that in the batter's box, it doesn't really matter if you know how to put the barrel on the ball and be a thorn in the side of pitching staffs. Like, no one wants to see Joe Davis.
They're a lot like Pablo Sanchez because they have power, except their strike zone is like the size of a magazine. Like,
right.
You put, like, a magazine up in the strike zone and say, like, yeah, this is it. Like, they're short and stocky, and you have to throw it in the zone for it to be a strike, and, like, their barrel takes up 80% of the zone, so good luck. Pablo Sanchez, like, little fat belly sticking out of their uniforms, but they'll hit the ball at 450 feet with ease.
Unbelievable, dude.
Yeah, so that's our little gold star segment. Don't throw to those guys. Because they will
hurt.
Not
if you want to win your games.
And it's like... Obviously, there's hundreds of other players we could have put in this gold star, but those are the two guys that, like, they're the only offense for those teams. Like, the majority of their offense comes through Joe Davis or Kyle McCann. Like, there's other teams in the nation that have guys that Price can protect them. Yeah, there's guys, but there's other teams that, like, have guys that are just as good of hitters that can protect them, or at least seem like they can protect them. Those two teams, that's their only offense.
Yeah, like, if you're Arizona State, like, you're pick a poison because you're getting it. There's four or five dudes in that lineup. But with these specific examples, somebody is twice as good as the guy next to him. But I don't – you know what always drives me nuts? We're gonna take a pause here. Have you ever heard if there's runners on second and third and a guy like Joe Davis is up and they're like, well, there's a base open. They can pitch around him, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well – this is just a dumb way of thinking, because if there was first and second, the announcers wouldn't say, oh, well, there's not a base open. Yes, there is. Third base is open. if you walk them both times, it would still result in bases loaded. Stop being scared. Read a book on game theory. There's not any difference about it. Man, we're giving some pitching coach some good advice. And there are pitching coaches that realize this. They're like, I really don't care where the base runners are. This guy is unbelievable. I'm going to throw punch-me-out sliders in the dirt, followed by fastballs in and off the plate. And if I punch him out, that's great. But I'm not giving him anything he can hurt me on. But I don't know. Some of these old rules of baseball are just too hard to follow. So that was one of them.
The old rule that you're thinking of is, like, there's already two guys in scoring position. So, like, you might as well pitch around them because there is a base open. But I see exactly what you're saying, and I agree with you, that, like, if you walk them, like, yeah, there's still two guys in scoring position, but that's better than zero guys in scoring position and three runs on the board.
Yeah, I mean, it's just fun. It's like, look, if you've got a powerful hitter at the plate, Like, a double scores two runs. I don't care if they're on first and second. Like, a guy with a slugging percentage north of 500, the guy in first base is in scoring position. You have to realize that. So, yeah. gold star for those two guys.
Yeah. You mentioned Arizona State, which I actually want to bring up now because...
Dude, this kind of hurts. It kind of hurts, but kind of glad.
So, when you hear Arizona State, you naturally think Bash Brothers because you listen to the podcast and, well, James named the 3, 4, 5, 6 hitters, maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 hitters, the Bash Brothers. And so we've tweeted it out a few times, like, you know, check out the Bash Brothers stats this year. Bash Brothers this, Bash Brothers that. Well,
and the boys interact with our tweets too. They like it.
They like it. They like the name. Well, it's come to our attention that, like, Arizona State has tweeted like 3 times in the last 2 days, and 2 of the 3 tweets are Bash Brothers. Like, hashtag Bash Brothers. Like, they put graphics up of the Bash Brothers. Like, they're 100% taking our stuff, but, like, we're okay with it, I guess. But they've refused to give us credit for that nickname.
Yeah, all I know is if they want to put us on the payroll at Arizona State, that's fine. but yeah,
I mean, seriously, we're a marketing genius for them. Like, honestly, we're not even marketing geniuses because we haven't even put it on a t-shirt yet.
No,
like, we could easily do like a red and gold Bash Brothers t-shirt with like helmets touching.
Like, we did come up with the nickname. I'm not that salty about it. I just want a little credit given. Like, we don't, I just want a little credit. I mean, and plus,
are they that prideful not to give us credit?
Dude, you know what a lazy intern they have over there. We did the work for them. Put us on the payroll. Put us on the payroll.
Give us some college credit for it at least, right?
We'll dude, some of us have way too much college credit. Let's be
James
honest.
Has taken about 6 years worth of college, so
I've legally been enrolled at 5 different places of higher education.
Well, Blinn Junior College, I don't know if that's higher education.
Hey, you have a degree from there too, buddy.
I do. I sure do. And while you were goofing off taking like some kind of classes that didn't count towards your curriculum, I got in and out of there real quick and graduated. So,
dude, we were in and out of there at the same time. I don't know what you're talking about. Hey, no, remember how stressed out you were? Because you went, for the fans that don't know, if you're a D1 player and you go to a junior college, you have to get your degree from there if you want to go back to a 4-year institution. Isn't that right, Ben?
Yeah, it's the 4-2-4 rule. And if you started a 4-year school and you transfer to a 2-year school, you have to graduate from the 2-year school before you're allowed to play in the 4-year school. So actually, I didn't get to goof off in junior college because I was taking 18 hours both semesters trying to graduate so I could go play at a different 4-year school.
Dude, that's such a ridiculous rule. But yeah, it was so, like, after I recruited Ben to our junior college and I'm living with him, Ben has got his hair on fire because he's taken 18 hours trying to graduate. Remember, you were stressed out? Like,
I took 18 hours in the fall.
And winter.
And then I had to take a 4-hour psychology class in the winter. Like, it was like from December 13th to like January 2nd. So like just right through the holidays, I was in Brenham, America, and start right back up to my 18 hours after that. Like, good God, man. Like,
I also remember that there was some like controversy around spring break that like they didn't sign you up for the right type of classes. Like, there was some controversy for a while if you were in the right class.
Yeah, no, it was like a theater class, and I don't remember if it was like I was supposed to be in like a speech class, and they thought theater would count, or there was something that came up that I was just like, nah, like, you guys figure this out. So, good old JUCO, you know, counseling advisors there for you, but. That's enough of that. Let's forget about it. I enjoyed my time in Brenham playing for the Blinn Bucks.
How did we get from the Bash Brothers to that segment? Go figure. Go freaking figure.
College credit, man. Brings us back to college credit.
We're on the payroll for the marketing department. But we like seeing them succeed. We were on them first. We created their nickname. We love those guys. They're a fun group of guys out there. We want to see them keep hitting well, right? Isn't that right, Ben?
No, we do. We definitely do, because I feel like you predicted at the beginning of the year, And like we got to ride this as much as we can because it makes us sound smarter than what we actually are.
Dude, how fun would it be to be the hitting coach of that group of boys? Like, all right, guys, whatever y'all want to do today, I just want to watch how good y'all are. That would be fun.
Yeah, you guys teach me some stuff. So like in the recruiting classes coming up, I can tell them what to do.
Yeah, dude, they're gonna continue to be a special team. But you want to give the fans a rundown of some of the scores Friday night? It was action packed.
We can do that, I guess. So Michigan and Indiana just absolutely destroyed their two teams. Michigan wins 23-2 over Manhattan. Indiana beats Canisius, or as James would say, Canisius.
I call him Canisius.
Canisius. That's what
Canisius.
It was. Let's see. We have
buy a vowel, please.
No, seriously. Louisville beats Duke 8-3.
Let's go.
East Carolina whoops Maryland 9-0. I'm gonna leave out the top 10 series scores. Right. So we can talk about them separate. But Miami, big win over North Carolina today. Auburn 2-0 over Tennessee. James, what do you know about Auburn's pitchers?
We're gonna talk about. Do you want to do it now?
Let's just do it right now.
All
right,
guys. So we've highlighted the A&M arms. We've highlighted Vanderbilt's just entire staff. But you guys need to be introduced to two absolute fireballers, two guys that they don't care who's on the mound. They don't care if the Bash Brothers are in front of them at the plate. Tanner Burns and Jack Owen, the 1-2 punch from Auburn, these numbers are unreal, and you got to hear them to believe them. The two guys combined, they've got 6 starts on the year heading into this weekend. They've both thrown a complete game. Together, they've got north of 50 innings with 2 earned runs combined, 6 walks combined, and north of 60 punchouts. These guys are unreal. The opponent batting averages against, if you average them together, about 130. Good.
Yikes. And this is considering, like, this is actually, I take that back. This isn't even talking about how they had the number 1 overall pick last year in Casey Mize, who was a junior. Imagine if he was a senior this year, bounce back. Like, those are some unbelievable numbers, and they don't even have the best pitcher from that recruiting class.
Dude, my favorite thing about these numbers are the strikeout to walk numbers. I want to get some percentages on those and all that, because that's the best way to do it. But that is unreal. You know, so they actually have my favorite player in the whole conference, by the way. And
Auburn does?
Yes.
Who?
Edouard Julien, the third baseman. He's Canadian. He absolutely rakes. He's an insane dude. He's got 5 pumps on the year already, by the way.
Really? Wait, yeah. Is he a JUCO guy, or did they recruit him out of Canada?
No, he's just a Canada guy. I love the Canada players because Ben knows, obviously. But at Blinn, we had a couple of Canada players, and they were just so good and super yoked and took baseball.
They all take steroids over there. I'm sorry. I'm saying it right now. Every Canadian player that I've ever seen play baseball has more veins than IQ points. Like, prove me wrong. Like, they take so many cycles of steroids up there in Canada.
Maybe in Canada they've got different rules. I don't know.
Am I wrong, though? Like, you know some of the guys that you've seen come from Canada. Like, those guys are the biggest human beings I've ever seen.
They're absolutely huge.
But they're so nice. And they're like, oh, yeah, yes, sir. Like,
they say the weirdest things. They ask where the washroom is. Like,
yeah, where's the washroom? You're like, what? Like, what does that even mean?
Absolutely. But yeah, I really like Edouard Julien. The ESPN did a profile on him last year. He's got such a sweet swing. Like, the dude absolutely rakes. His average is down to 298 right now. I'm surprised.
Oh, must be nice, man.
His OPS is 1,000, though. His OPS is 1,000.
I'll take it. Batting average is so underrated. Overrated.
Dude, it's just like the old baseball demons coming out and trying to control your voice right there.
Dude, the way I put it when people start describing how batting average is important is, you know, if batting average just came out today and we've been doing OPS and like WOBA and stuff like that, like, you'd be like, what is the point of this? Like, this doesn't tell us anything about a hitter. Like, it gives us a very brief idea of what he could be, but like, then you have luck involved. You don't know if he hits for power.
Well, you know what confuses people about it, right?
Is a lot.
Well, yeah, there's a lot, but like, what people get confused about is the people that love batting average, like, oh, what do you mean batting average is important? What's confusing to them is they've seen so many great players who also had good batting averages, and they start to conflate A for B. Like, start to
That's true. That's a good way to put it.
You know, like if you didn't know anything about new metrics or better metrics, you'd be like, well, Mookie Betts hit 350. I know he's a great hitter, and he has a good batting average. And they start to think like those two equal each other, and they don't have to be. Like, there are going to be hitters around the country that hit 330 who have less than five doubles and no home runs, and they don't walk, and they're just not going to contribute as much as someone who hits 280 with 10 doubles, three home runs, and walks 10% of the time. Like, do the math. Do the bases. They're not the same thing, but that's just – it's hard for people to understand, man.
No, yeah, I think you're right. And that's hopefully we get to a point as a baseball community where we accept statistics such as weighted on-base average and – at the very least, OPS. Like, OPS is a very dumbified, like, you can come up with this number by yourself.
Well, technically, OPS is mathematically flawed.
Well, I know it is. I know the only thing that's not flawed is probably weighted on base average plus, because that also has ballpark factor into it. But,
Baseball Prospectus. They last year they came out with a new statistic that is more predictive of player skill. It's called deserved runs created. Have you looked into that?
No, I haven't. But it sounds like dessert. So feed me some.
What is your favorite dessert? By the way, I was at the rodeo this morning. I ate all types of terrible food down here. What's your favorite dessert?
Ooh, probably either Bluebell cookies and cream ice cream.
Oh, that's classic.
Or maybe like a nice fudgy brownie.
Okay. But all right, so talking about deserved runs created, we're kind of on a tangent here. But basically, they found a way to, like, if you're Ben Upton and you faced, what was the best pitcher you faced as a freshman? Who some guy's in the big leagues now? What's his name?
Walker Buehler. Yeah.
Okay. So shout out to Ben. Ben faced Walker Buehler as a freshman and did very well, competed his butt off against him because Ben's a beast. If you like roped a triple against Walker Buehler, like basically they'd be like, oh wow, like judging by the statistics, Walker Buehler's really good. And then Ben Upton did really good against him. Like, you would get more credit of like talent. More credit would be given to your talent for getting a triple off Walker Buehler than if like you hit a triple off me. Like, I never pitched an inning in college. So they found a way to kind of like give credit and weight your outcomes against talented or less talented players. And
I would say that's also flawed though, because using myself as a personal example, I always played much better against, like, I hit much better against good pitching. And I don't know if it was like loss of focus or maybe I would try to do too much, but like when I faced like crappy pitching, like, you know, 84 down the middle, I would always like pop out to second base or like, you know, ground out up, you know, shortstop or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I always hit well whenever the pitchers were more talented. So I feel like that system's also flawed. But you know, I guess you can find a flaw with everything and nothing's important anymore because I don't play baseball, so I don't even know, like, I don't really care what goes on anymore.
You made me cry.
I know, dang, dude, it just made me a little sad saying that. I don't know if I've ever said those words out loud. I don't play baseball anymore. Like, it just sounds so weird to say. But I do play softball, and let me tell you, I'm an absolute animal. Hit leadoff, never done that before in my life. Play shortstop, never done that before in my life. Led the league in homers, never done that before in my life. I don't know how you make it on like Team USA softball, because you know they have like the little grown men steroid softball.
Please do that. Please do that.
That might be my next career goal. Just
please do not do that.
Dude, it's so much fun. Have you ever played shortstop before?
I played shortstop in some scrimmages for Longwood, so I have.
It's fun. You just feel like the most athletic guy on the field.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. That is true.
My 6 foot, 220-pound dad bod, I didn't get to experience shortstop as much as I wish I would have. And shame on the coaches, because like I could have been a natural shortstop. They just never gave me the chance. But wow, we got way off topic, but I guess that's what a Friday night's for.
That's right.
But all right, let me complete these scores. Hopefully I didn't bore the fans enough, but we just got a final at UCLA. My Oregon State Beavers just lost 8-0, James.
Are you kidding me?
This isn't a drill, man.
This is a live show.
Do we panic? Like, do we throw Oregon State like ranked 12th now instead of first?
That's it. 8-0. New rankings.
And to make things even worse, the other team that I picked for the top 10 series matchups, the Florida State Cinnamon Rolls, lose 16-1
NC State went for two twice, and they got it just to put extra stinking on Mike Martin.
Like, what is going on? I mean, NC State remains undefeated. But
I told you.
I don't think they're that good, though, James.
No, what I meant is I told you I don't know what to make about Florida State. Like, coming out Friday night and getting manhandled. They're so talented, and they beat the hell out of the little guys. And it's just, we won't know how good they are for maybe the whole season. Hell, I don't know. They're going to be one of those teams that doesn't have much to say at breakfast tomorrow morning.
That is true. Arizona State's taking care of business in their first conference game against Washington State. They're up 6-0 at home, bottom 7. We'll count that as a win. They'll remain undefeated. We also, dude, a game that I want to talk about that we didn't. Yeah, a game that I want to talk about that we didn't even, like, I don't even think we talked about it for our top 10 weekend series matchups. Like, consider it, but Georgia beat South Carolina 6-1 on the road. Like, Georgia might be one of those teams that is better than we think they are. Like, they're just taking care of business every night. And, like, yeah, their schedule wasn't great, but they're in the conference play now, and they're still taking care of business. So, good for them.
Yep.
Arkansas beats Missouri 2-0. I'm going to try to avoid the SEC real quick, but it's hard to do because they're all ranked in the top 25. Let me talk about a game just briefly. Like, don't go in depth, please. It'll hurt my feelings. But my Mercer Bears lose again tonight at home to a school called Binghamton. Have you ever heard of Binghamton? If you get Binghamton's mascot right, I will pay you a dollar.
I'm 99% sure that we played against them. Are they the Bears?
I don't know.
No, I'm 99% sure
we. I'm about to Google it right now.
Yeah, they're from New York. They had a really good player. Their shortstop was a beast. Well, their
Friday night guy was really good. The Binghamton Rumble Ponies they're the Bearcats. That's close.
Okay, yeah. They're green and black, aren't they?
Yeah, I'll give you 50 cents. They're the Bearcats. You just didn't finish it. But yeah, Binghamton comes down from New York, beats Mercer at home on a Friday night, 6-4. And I mean, besides like two or three guys in the lineup, besides Kel Johnson and RJ Yeager, all the other guys are just, they're so hit or miss, no pun intended, but like some days they'll go out and go 3-for-4, but some days they'll go out and go 0-for-4 with 4Ks. So very disappointed in my Mercer Bears, but I know they're going to turn around this year. They're young. They'll figure it out. They still have a week before SoCon play. Please figure it out, Bears. I know a lot of you listen. Please figure it out. I just want to ride that wave with you guys because I don't play baseball anymore. But yeah, besides that, I mean, I left out all of our top 10 weekend series matchups except for NC State and Oregon State and UCLA and them. But let's go down the rankings. So James, what did you go today? Do you know? Mississippi State beats Florida. So you got that. That's 1-0. Yep. Texas beats Texas Tech, so that makes you 1-1.
Yes, sir. I got a big fat loss there, and I'm fired up about it because it shouldn't be happening.
No, you're right. It shouldn't be happening. What other games do you have? You have Louisville at Duke, and you picked Louisville Duke.
You know, in a game that was supposed to be very pitching heavy, that the score was 3-1 in the first inning there. You know, talking about two of the best staffs in the ACC, it turned into a high scoring game for a little bit. So I'm glad Louisville came out ready to play. I was worried about them.
Yeah. Louisville wins 8-3, and then you also had Vandy beating Texas A&M on the road 7-4. So yeah, you're looking good. And then High Point and Campbell didn't play today, so you're 3-1.
Yeah.
I think High Point and Campbell play a doubleheader tomorrow. Don't fact check me. That's just a guess. They got rained out today, but
yep.
Me on the other hand, very, very down day. I don't even know if I want to talk about it, but I guess I legally have to.
Dallas like, contractually obligated
to talk about it. Dallas Baptist, they lose. They lose to University of Houston. They lost, and they're the way more talented team. I don't know what happened. I'm frustrated.
Yeah, that was number 10 on our pick'ems, like the most obvious game we thought.
Yeah. Dang, that makes it hurt even worse. Oregon State gets shut out, as I just talked about.
Dude, surprise of the night. That's the surprise of the night.
No, maybe. I'm not done yet. NC State beats Florida State 16-0. I've had Florida State. So right now I'm 0-3, and Jacksonville didn't play against UNCG because they got rained out, I believe. Let me just double check that. I think I'm like 99% sure they got rained out. But maybe I just stopped looking after. Yeah, they did. Okay, good. Whew.
Dude, I got a trivia question for you.
Wait, hold on. And then since New Mexico State and Nebraska got rained out, we had to do a quick, I guess, leapfrog to a different series. So we did Pepperdine and San Diego. And the last I checked, San Diego was winning, but yeah, they ended up winning 5-1. So I went 1-3 today. You went 3-1. We both had a game rained out. Not a good start for me. Incredible start for you. This might be the week where you gain some ground back, because it doesn't look good for the good guys over here.
They're good guys. No, here's my trivia question for you. This is a difficult one. Are you ready?
Dude, I was born ready. Let me hear it.
Who scored more runs today, Oregon State or Florida State?
Ooh. They tied. They both had zero.
Who would have thought?
If you would have – the Vegas odds on them both scoring zero today – and giving up a combined 24, that would have been 10,000-1. Like, actually, they probably wouldn't have even had odds on that.
No, they'd be like, we're not wasting time with the – because if we lose the insurance, no, we're not wasting time.
Not for us. So, James, do you have a surprise of the night? Because I do. I think there's very obvious one out there in the fact that the Fighting Irish of – Notre Dame took care of business today.
Team we've called out multiple times.
Yeah, and they beat a team 9-2, and this team has been like, their fans have given us so much hell for not ranking them, and good for them for losing today, because we didn't rank them because we didn't think they were great. Clemson Tigers lose 9-2 at home to a bad Notre Dame team. So the same fans that yelled at us for not ranking the Clemson Tigers owe us an apology. Please tweet at us or DM us on Instagram.
You were saying?
Yeah, like, you guys want to be ranked, but you don't want to beat the Fighting Irish, who have only won 7 games this year? But James, your preseason prediction of the Fighting Irish only, or would you say less than 3 series this year?
Yeah.
That's in jeopardy, because they actually won the series last week against Wake Forest.
Dude,
so if they win this series, they'll win their first two ACC series, and your prediction will be way off.
You know what that means? It'd just be a long rest of the season for them. That's what that means.
That's true. What's your surprise of the day today?
Dude, my surprise of the day is that not only does NC – I've got kind of two. NC State stays undefeated, which – they had a 50-50 chance of winning tonight, I would say. Right around there, ask Warren Nolan. But they go ahead and pound out Florida State 16-0. That's a surprise of the day. My second one, my half surprise of the day, Stetson losing by 10 to Yale. This is a team that won a boatload of games last year.
Super regional team.
Yeah, super regional team. And I'm not saying it's the same team. We all know what happened to them, who they lost and all that. But it's just so surprising. Like, that's something that if you're a returning player and if you're a coach, that's something where you say, like, guys, we can be the next Coastal Carolina. Like, we can become a national power. We're right there. And today, like, they've got 7 wins on the year, not looking too hot, and they get 10 spotted, losing by 10 to Yale. Ouch. So those are my two surprises of the night.
All right. I like those. Before we end the show, I secretly came up with 4 trivia questions for you. And they're all team stats related. And I want to see how many of the 4 you'll get right. You ready for this?
Let's do it. I love trivia with you. It's
all right. No look, no Googling this stuff. It's worth a Google. Computer away. Actually leave it on because we're on Skype, so don't close it. But don't open the browser, okay?
Oh, I got you. We're good.
All right. So can you name me one of the 2 teams this year who have turned a triple play?
Oh, you're a turd for this one. Can I at least be given what part of the country they're on? It's a triple play. Come on.
They're both in Central Time Zone.
Okay. Now, this would be really embarrassing if I pick a team that's not in the Central Time. So. I'm going to say Kansas has turned a triple play.
Nope. They're not Power 5.
Okay. Well, this will be fun. Is Valparaiso in Central Time Zone?
Dude, shout out to you for saying Valparaiso. No, it wasn't them, but that's a name I haven't heard since like the 2013 NCAA basketball tournament.
All right, well, I guess twice I'm out. What are they?
All right, we have Murray State, and we have Grambling.
You're lying.
Swear.
When did Grambling turn the triple play?
Probably on their self.
Did they know what they did? They hit a pop up for info flight.
I've heard enough of that. I would have never guessed that.
Moving on.
Which team has the most walks on the year? Actually, no. Give me a team in the top 5. I'll give you one of the top 5. Can you guess a team in the top 5 of total walks offensively this year?
Okay. I'm going to pick Arizona State.
Nope.
I'm going to pick Cal.
Nope. Okay. Nobody in the Pac-12.
Okay. I'm going to pick Arkansas.
Nope. Top 5 is Tennessee, North Carolina, Florida A&M, Florida State, and Alabama.
Alabama has got drawn the walks. Wow, how about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So 0 for 2. So which team has thrown the most shutouts this season? You can name one in the top 5.
Tennessee.
Ah, dang it. All right, wait, besides Tennessee.
Okay, Tennessee's 1.
They have 6. So the next one has 4, and then there's like 7 tied with 3.
Is Duke in there?
No.
Any mid-majors?
Yes.
San Diego?
No. They have 2. San Diego's tied for 10th with 2.
Okay.
There's 2 Virginia schools. One's a mid-major, one's not.
VCU?
Nope.
Virginia Tech?
Nope.
Virginia?
Yep.
Really? They're pitching it a little bit, huh?
Virginia and Old Dominion. And then,
Old Dominion, wow.
So, yeah, UCLA is in 2nd place by themselves with 4. Actually, probably 5 now because they just shut out Oregon State. And then you have Louisville, Ohio State, NC, A&T, Virginia, Old Dominion, Texas A&M, Oklahoma tied with 3.
I'll give you 50 cents back if you can tell me A&T's mascot.
It's like the Bulldogs, maybe.
I was gonna say Bulldog.
I feel like I know that one, but maybe not. And then the last trivia question before we get off the show: which team has scored the most runs besides New Mexico State and Arizona State? Just anybody else, like next five teams you can pick. New Mexico State's at 240, number one. Arizona State's at 168, number two.
Okay. I would say Dallas Baptist, but no, that's not true. Ooh, how about Michigan?
Nope. There is a Michigan school, though, in the next five.
Western Michigan?
Central Michigan. The Chippewas, 152.
Really? Chippewas are putting up... Their third base coach, his arm's getting tired.
And, dude, they've only played 16 games. The rest have played 17, 18,
19. Damn. Shout out to the Chippewas. Okay.
So the next highest, do you want to guess? Or do you want me to tell you?
Give me a conference.
Same conference as Arizona State.
Utah.
Nope. They suck.
Oh, okay. I'm done.
It goes New Mexico State, Arizona State, Arizona, Florida, Coastal Carolina, Central Michigan, Vanderbilt, and then Alabama State.
I can't believe I didn't pick Coastal. We've only been talking about their absurd. Only...
I thought you for sure you would get that one, but
I'm still mourning the loss of Parker Chavers in the dugout.
I know. Rest in peace, but he'll be back. He'll be back right in time for postseason. Anything else you want to say before we get off, James?
Listen to the Ron Polk interview. Guy's a legend. He was kind enough to spend some time with us, and he was actually really excited to reach you guys and the fans. He said anyone that supported a podcast about the NCAA scholarships and 11.7, he was like, I'm down to talk to him. So he didn't just do it for us. He did it for you guys. So I'd recommend giving it a listen.
That's right. If you haven't heard it yet, please go listen. But besides that, we'll see you guys Sunday night. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Be safe, and go college baseball.
Adios.